This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin at the Denton Day on Twitter. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, please go do so. You get to see the Kevin Sheehan Show live, so you see me in living audio and color on the YouTube. Subscribe to that. We go to the phones now. Our guy Ben Standig with us. Normally he joins Mondays and Fridays, but because everybody was off yesterday, we have twisted his arm and he is good enough to join us on Tuesday. Ben, we appreciate you jumping on. Before we get to Commander's discussion, and I'm sure Max has tipped you off about this, our topic of discussion that has been a debate on the show today, is lemonade a juice? Do you have a response to this?
Wow. Starting off with the heavy stuff here.
Hard-hitting journalism only.
I mean, maybe it's just because I'm used to it not being classified as one. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. I mean, I know that the apple and orange and all that have, like, sugar added to it or whatever, but, like, the taste feels, you know, fairly pure and direct.
So my counter argument to that, or to that point where you put sugar in juice, you're not cutting any of those juices with water. You know what I'm saying? Since lemonade is primarily lemon juice, a good portion of water, and then sugar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I would say it is not a juice. That would be my stance. Final answer.
Has been the correct answer for a majority of those of us on the show. So that you are in a safe place with that.
Ben's
one,
on the right
Ben.
Side of history.
So there's a couple big commanders news, but a couple of news tidbits today. I want to start with Carl Davis. They bring him back at the defensive tackle spot. Is there much to this, or is this just another body at D tackle?
I just think it's another body until we hear otherwise. I mean, he's a guy that's been around the league. He was one of the players that filled in last year when they had some injuries, Jonathan Allen and others. And if you had told me they had re-signed him, a couple months ago, I'd have been like, sure. I mean, my only wonder is, like, if you look at the defensive line, I know everybody's lamenting that they haven't done enough at defensive end and so on, but, like, they actually have, like, a lot of bodies. If we're going to say, the, you know, can you make the 53 roster out of these guys? So I don't, like, you know, typically if somebody's going to sign you, you know, who's played a bit, you think, okay, well, there's got to be sort of a semi-obvious path to make the team. I don't really see one for him, but, you know, again, what, long way to go. Injuries happen. Who knows what their ultimate plans are with a couple of players. So, yeah, I think it's just depth at a minimum for the summer. And, again, it's somebody who's been around. And, you know, maybe they put him on the practice squad when the time comes, you know, to have that veteran presence in case they need it.
Will he be at OTAs this week?
I would assume so if you're announcing it today. I mean, like, you know, again, to the point of how come they haven't signed Matthew Judon or, you know, one of these vets that's still out there. It's because those guys don't want to be part of OTAs and minicamp. I mean, unless the team is coming at them with like a legit offer, you know, like a real, you know, more than the baseline offers that are out there, they don't want any part of this stuff. Whereas a guy like Davis, you know, I would imagine, hey, he's happy to get a call. So, yeah, I presume he would be there this week.
Is that, do you think, one of the reasons why Terry McLaurin has been absent the past couple of days from OTAs?
It could be. I mean, it could be a lot of reasons why he's out. I think in this town, even going back before this group, we've made such a big deal about who shows up for OTAs and all these things, which, again, are voluntary, in large part because the percentage of players that come is very, very high typically. But I was looking around, like, one of a reporter I follow on social media covers Tampa Bay, and he was saying that they're at practicing today, that, like, they have, like, maybe 75 players there. And he was noting, like, some of the notable players that were in attendance, and it didn't sound like a lot of, you know, it wasn't like Mike Evans. I don't know if Mike Evans is there or not, but he didn't list him when right. saying, here are some of the names that are here. So I think, and I know the Ravens are kind of the same way. Like, I think a lot of teams do not, it's not nearly a stigma to be like, hey, this guy is not around. Whereas here, and granted, we understand with Terry, there's a bit of there's something else going on in terms of a contract discussion, and maybe that, you know, is part of something. But I don't think it's a big deal with McLaurin for whatever the reason he's not here. You know, I'm kind of the mindset, wake me up when we get to training camp if he still doesn't have a deal. But other than that, I imagine something will get done. And if he's not there, God bless him. It's not, you know, it's not some major red flag. It certainly wouldn't be in a lot of teams around the league.
You know, I was going to ask you when the benchmark is, because I'm not worried about Terry not being at OTAs. It doesn't really bother me. We've kind of seen this before. I mean, he was there earlier. He was throwing with Jaden. We get the feeling he wants to be here. We get the feeling the team wants him here. The rest feels like semantics. But if we do get to training camp and there is no deal, is it then time to move the panic meter at least a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, if we get all the way that deep and nothing's happened, that would be something to note. I mean, you know, even still, you know, he's. I'm not really worrying about it, I guess, on any level. I mean, like, they you know, what have we heard? What's, like, the one refrain we've heard a lot in the last, you know, recent weeks and months? That Dan Quinn and Adam Peters now know what it means to be a commander. They have identified commanders. It's a talking point that people, even on the business side of things, mention when it comes to this team. Well, you know, if you're going to put somebody on the poster for what it means to be a commander, how is it not Terry McLaurin? Not only is he highly productive, but, you know, a role model, a locker room leader, does all the right things, you know, great in the community, like, everything about it screams, you know, this guy is a player you want to position as somebody to follow. And then on top of that, you know, the biggest thing this team has done this offseason is continue to build around Jaden Daniels, right? Offensive line, Deebo Samuel, et cetera. And granted, McLaurin has a contract for this year, but, like, why would you not, like, that's building around Jaden Daniels. To take him away or to potentially have it such that, you know, he could walk after the year, like, that would go against the plan. So I'm not fretting at all about this not getting done. But yeah, sure. I mean, we live in a world of, you know, business and commerce, and at some point something has to get done. But I, you know, again, wake me up at training camp if it's not, if nothing's happened yet.
We are talking with Ben Standing here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Now, the team did announce its preseason schedule, and I'm not like a schedule connoisseur of any kind, Ben. I didn't do a mock preseason schedule, none of that. But I do find it odd that they have week one and two of the preseason 10 days away, and then week two and three of the preseason 5 days away. That seems weird.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, as much as I'm going to get the outrage over a preseason schedule, it does feel like Washington got hosed here. Not only are they, the second game is a Monday night, which really, come on, NFL, you have to put them on Monday night. You have them on every other national television game. It's Monday night football in the preseason. You know, calm down. But then, so that's, I mean, it's a literal night game, as we know, right? So that's Monday. And then 5 days later on the calendar, but really less than that because it's a Monday night game, and then the next game is a noon kickoff. They're playing again. Now, even if we assume that, like, the Jaden Daniels and the other starters and main players won't play a lick, what about the – it still sucks for everybody else. Like, this is the last game to try to make the team, you know, to show what you're doing, and now you have to do it on short rest when at a point where, like, it's never good, but, like, you know – you're only just sort of getting used to, like, hitting guys again. I think they got completely hosed here on this, on both fronts. I think it's a pretty lousy situation. I also think, I don't know that anything would have happened for sure, but I know there was at least some thought of, like, hey, could we do joint practices with the Ravens, you know, like they have in the past, it would make sense. Well, you can't do it now. I mean, not with only that short time. So, you know, that's another potential thing they got hosed on, that even if they truly wanted to have that, it was impossible to do it.
Yeah, that was going to be something I brought up. One, I mean, this is the NFL once again showing us that safety is a top priority with the 4.5 days, basically. But that eliminates the Ravens as a potential joint practice. Have you heard any conversations? I know, at least I believe that Vrabel and Dan Quinn have some sort of relationship. Could there be a joint practice with New England?
Yeah, I think the Patriots, I mean, you can look for that to occur. I think that one is, you can probably pencil in at least for sure. So, yeah, they will have some, at least one, I believe. But, yeah, I mean, the schedule just doesn't lend itself to having another one. And, you know, the Ravens one, you know, I mean, obviously maybe you can't do it every single year for whatever the reasons, but, like, that's just such a no-brainer, right, for both sides. It's, you know, minimal travel, you know, all that. And yet, now you can't because of the calendar, even if you wanted to. So, yeah, and it's a tough blow there. I mean, it's clear that Dan Quinn, as a lot of coaches do, likes the joint practices, and I think we all understand why. So, yeah, you know, like, at least they're going to do the one, but it's, you know, at the top of the preseason, you know, maybe it'd be a little bit better to have a little bit later, but, you know, at least they're going to get the one in, it looks like.
Talking with Ben Standing of The Athletic here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on a Tuesday on the Team 980. Are there any storylines in particular that have your interest as we approach OTAs outside of Terry McLaurin's contract status?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, for me, it's not so much about the X's and the O's, and it's more just about the individual players, you know, who's healthy, who looks like they have been putting on some bulk, some weight, or, you know, possibly the opposite. You know, I think those are the things that I'm most interested in. And, you know, I think I can't get too worked up about where people are lining up, who's on first team, second team. But, like, you know, the offensive line will be kind of an interesting look. You know, does Josh Connerly start to get the reps with the first unit? Where does Brandon Coleman line up? I think that, to me, is going to be interesting. And, you know, and again, I would probably just say, like, you know, is Marshawn Lattimore going full speed? You know, a guy who missed a bunch of time last year, not just last year, but several years in a row with hamstring injuries. You know, where is he at now? I'm not saying you give him a pass off of last year when after the trade, but okay, you can maybe give him a little bit of a pass. He was dealing with an injury when they got him, et cetera. But you know, now, you know, it's months away. You should be out there all the time. Let's, you know, hopefully he's not getting, like, days off or anything along those lines. That would be a bit of a red flag. So to me, it's just mostly things along those lines. And I think the other part for me would be, what's the vibe? It's always positive at this time of year. It's like, you know, spring training and baseball. But last year there was a little extra. You could tell, at least I could, that the holdover players had an extra pep in their step being around Dan Quinn and the new vibe. And not that, like, you would expect anything different, but, you know, what's the vibe this year? You know, it seems like everybody's still in a good spirit, good mood. I don't get any sense of anybody coming in with a big head or anything like that. But, you know, let's just see what are people saying, you know, what's the tone, et cetera. Because, you know, that can be the sort of an underlying sense of how this team is operating. But, you know, those are the types of things I'm going to focus on more than say, you know, the run defense looks much improved. I mean, there's no pads. You can't tell anything for real at this time of the year. So that's kind of what I'd be paying attention to.
How much, if any, danger is Luke McCaffrey in losing his either return spot or his what few snaps he did get last year to Jalen Lane?
It's definitely possible. I mean, he was pretty effective returning kicks late in the year, so I would think he would at a minimum be still part of that. And then as far as the receiver rotation, you know, after Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, and probably Noah Brown, you know, I think it seems pretty open. Like Jalen Lane, because of that speed, you know, it feels like there would be a specific opportunity for him, a specific role. But, you know, I'm not going to rule out Luke McCaffrey. You know, if he takes a leap, you know, last year was only his third year as a receiver because he switched in college from quarterback. So he's still learning the position. And, you know, I saw times last year where, like, he felt like he was on the verge of a breakout a lot of weeks, and then it just never quite happened. So he's definitely one of those guys I'm curious to see. How does he come into camp? Does he look a bit, you know, sharper with what he's asked to do out there? So, you know, look, you can't play everybody. And, you know, if you want to include Michael Gallup or KJ Osborne, perhaps, as guys who could also force their way into the rotation, sure. But, you know, I think McCaffrey's going to get every chance to be able to have a role. But, you know, we'll see. Again, with Jalen Lane, you know, they're different types of players, but there's only so many snaps to go around. So let's see how that goes. But I think he's, you know, I think he has at least a good chance to stay where he was last year, if not get a little more work.
A basketball question here for you. Can anybody beat the Thunder?
Oh, boy. So I think, like, what was impressive to me about last night, like, I have not been, like, all in on the Thunder the way a lot of people have been. Now, admittedly, I didn't watch a ton of Thunder games during the year, and their record is obviously very impressive. But I've been concerned about their youth. Like, they don't have, obviously SGA is a, you know, hell of a player, and they have a lot of talent, but you know, you saw in the Denver series how Denver was able to, I think, sort of, you know, take the maturity angle that they have as guys who, you know, won a title and use that to their advantage. I thought last night was impressive for the Thunder. They seemed to come out from the jump and not only be afraid of the moment, but be really engaged. And they were, you know, Minnesota was facing an uphill battle all game. I think, though, that both the Knicks and Indiana, whichever one comes out of the East, both of them have a lot of resolve. They're both, I think, pretty, you know, they play with a lot of energy and effort. And I think that's the type of team that could potentially get the Thunder. But, and Indiana also has a lot of depth, which is, you know, Oklahoma City's real strength along with their defense. Like, they just can throw body after body. So I think Indiana would have a shot. And I think the Knicks wouldn't be crazy to me either, but certainly the Thunder, you know, they just have so much talent, so many bodies, and with SGA, if he keeps making shots, that obviously is going to be a very tough out.
Do you think the Knicks tie the series up tonight? I kind of take a lot of joy in watching them lose, so I was a little upset that they came back in Game 3.
We've seen an inordinate amount of these 20-point leads disappearing, and in a lot of cases, you know, I think it's fair to use the choke word, you know. I wouldn't do that in this last game. I mean, Indiana's offense wasn't at nearly as good as it had been in the first two games, but I just thought the Knicks, you know, I mean, that right before the first half when they cut it from 20 to 13 was a big stretch. And then, you know, Karl Anthony Towns had a monster fourth quarter, and their defense was tremendous, the Knicks. You know, and that's the thing, you know, we always talk about the offense of the NBA, but between the Knicks, the Pacers, the Thunder, we got some of the really impressive defensive teams here. And I think Indiana wins tonight. I think they take that 3-1 lead. But if the Knicks defense shows up like it did from the start, then we very much could be looking at a 2-2 series. But I think Indiana finds a way to get it done.
Are you a Timothée Chalamet fan the way that I am now? I'm not like a huge fan of his movies just because I'm not a big movie guy. But it feels like this guy is living my 12-year-old dream.
Well, I mean, he's certainly doing well for himself. If you had to pick the heir to the Leonardo DiCaprio, star in big movies, date attractive women, and just, although he's taking it to a different level, whereas DiCaprio is completely hides himself off screen. Chalamet out there, out in front with the Knicks fan base, to the point where he's getting dragged out of his car after they won the previous series against the Celtics. Yeah, he's definitely taken advantage of it all, and I respect it. I mean, I know he grew up in New York. Obviously, I have no idea what kind of fan he truly was, but he seems like a fairly normal person in this regard. It doesn't feel like we see some celebrities are are you really a fan? Or are you just kind of putting on the sweatshirt and saying you are? In this case, it feels like authentic. So, he's having a great time, and kudos to him.
He was a total blog boy. Like, the people have gone back because how the internet is, how it is. They found him on message boards when he was 13 years old.
He rushed down to Grand Central Station for tickets to meet Landry Fields and Andy Rottens. So
that'd be like me rushing to meet Jarvis Hayes.
Yeah.
that's funny though. That's great. I mean, like I said, the authenticity with this stuff is what's key. It's there's nothing worse than fake fans that the celebrities that try to show up at when a team gets good. Be curious to see what happens here, for example, with the Jaden Daniels. People McConaughey, they're already in. Dale Jr. We knew they were fans when the team was terrible. So let's see who possibly shows up now. But that's great if he's that into it. I mean, I certainly, as somebody who's been into these things my whole life, it's great to see other people have that sickness, and good for him.
Ben, we appreciate it. We started you with a lemonade conversation. We ended you with Timmy Chalamet. Hard-hitting journalism only here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, but we appreciate it nonetheless.
Keep me on my toes, and you are on time, Ben. You're doing a good job. Thanks, man.
That is Ben Standing of The Athletic. He's good enough to join us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. By the way, that was not a dig at Jarvis Hayes. I love Jarvis Hayes growing up. His little leg kick when he would hit a corner three was crazy in the hibachi era of Gilbert Arenas. Did you watch that shooting guards thing, Max?
I have not.
I wouldn't if I were you. It was much more of a Javaris Crittenden redemption story, which was, I guess, fine. I think Netflix's Untold is unequivocally the worst sports documentary series across every single streaming platform. I have never watched one and thought, I am better off after watching this.
It feels like it's a lot of hype, not a ton of substance.
They can't pick a correct angle. I thought it should have been, if it's going to be about Javaris Crittenden, fine. But I felt like they were leading at least my people our age about hey, look at this thing about Gilbert we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then it was Gilbert's done after the first hour and there's 30 minutes left to go and it's just all about Javaris Crittenden. You're like, I could have done something else with my time here. Kurt Heelan's going to join us, NBC, in about 20 minutes here to talk the NBA playoffs. Coming up next, which quarterback could be on the move? He's not at OTAs today for his team. He could be on the move soon. I'll tell you who when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here. It is time to get into our poll question. When you think of the Kevin Sheehan Show, you think of hard-hitting Big J journalism.
That's right.
That's what you think of. Our poll question for the day is on Twitter, at the Team 980, and the phone lines will open up if you want to jump in on this at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. The poll question is, we got Linnell in here. He doesn't know the question yet.
Oh, boy.
So I'm actually excited to see what his reaction to this is going to be. Is lemonade a juice?
Are you kidding?
No, this is the real question.
Would you call it the Big J?
It's Big J journalism. Only important topics here on the Kevin Sheehan Show.
Is lemonade a juice?
Is lemonade a juice?
What constitutes a juice?
There's a lot of real thought into this.
The debate is open.
Because this, to me, like, tired brains are going to ask you, is a hot dog a sandwich? Boring. Ain't nobody care about that. It's 2025. I know the Pope likes hot dogs because he's from Chicago. I don't care about hot dogs. Galaxy brain people, wired brain people are asking, is lemonade a juice?
Juice is any beverage not carbonated that's not water.
So milk is a juice?
Wow, okay.
Yeah, see, like there's a lot of thought that goes into this.
So what makes is milk?
I'll give you my answer.
Milk.
I do not think that lemonade is a juice. Okay. When Anthony McBarnett gets in here, we'll have this conversation because he threw this at me this weekend.
Of course. So this is where it comes from.
Yeah, it comes from Anthony. I do not think that lemonade is a juice. I think lemonade is a soft drink. I don't think it's a juice.
Soft drink?
Let me tell you why it's a juice, because now I have a definition for juice.
There we go.
Here we go. It comes from a fruit.
It does.
So that makes it a juice.
Yes. That's your stance. Is that your stance too, Max?
No, my stance is it's lemon-flavored sugar water.
See? Now he's thinking.
Yeah.
Because there's so much. This is what was like the defining thing for me. Have you ever had packet lemonade?
Yeah, ooh. Like
right. Like Kool-Aid, you stir it up. It's only very time, similar to yeah. Kool-Aid,
country
right?
Time,
country
yeah.
Time, Simply Made, yeah. Minute Made, whatever.
Sure.
Have you ever had that with orange juice or apple juice? No.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying.
But they lemon do frozen juices. Concentrates for apple juice, orange juice, things like that. So you can go to the freezer section and get a lemonade, get an orange juice, get an apple juice. Concentrate.
So it's concentrate. I still think that because there is so much sugar involved and so much water in the basis of lemonade that it cannot be a juice. And another thing that I was thinking of, we got four people in here, right? Show's over, squad brunch. We're rolling to whatever the good brunch places are here in Southeast. Maybe we go to Arlington and Clarendon. They got all sorts of brunch places over there, right? We're getting mimosas. Just the boys, the fellas, having some mimosas. When the waiter comes over and offers you juices, he gives you orange juice, grapefruit juice, which by far is the best for mimosas, but that's another topic.
Wow, that's spicy.
And I love grapefruit juice. Maybe some pineapple juice.
Yeah, I like pineapple.
Pineapple juice for the ladies. some cranberry juice, some apple juice. No one ever offers lemonade. Now, with that said, if you want to hit me with some lemonade and tequila,
well, there we go.
We can have a time.
Yeah. Lemonade, vodka. Lemonade.
There you go. Vodka lemonade, mm-hmm. But you're not getting it with mimosas. They give you juices with mimosas, not lemonade with mimosas.
I think Max kind of hit it. So technically, lemonade, once you put the aid on there, lemon juice is a juice that comes from the lemon.
Right.
Lemonade is a human a man-made drink.
It's man-made.
It's not.
Like you're not taking, lemonade or lemon juice to the dome. Unless you're in a weird spot in life, if you're taking lemon juice to the dome.
You're doing something special for your health at that point.
I mean, right, exactly. Because I've had lemon water before, but when you throw in the abundance of sugar, I once was in charge. This is a real story, and it should not have been a real story, but it was. When I was like 15 years old, I worked at Cox Farms, which is pumpkin patch. It was by far the worst job I've ever had.
From an attendee at Cox Farms, I know.
Child labor laws being broken at the farm.
So they did not have to pay me at 15 minimum wage as long as they gave me food.
Okay.
And let me tell you, I pimped that food system.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting four lunches. And at a certain point, they were like, you eat a lot. And I was like, if you're not giving me my 720, I'm taking multiple slices of pizza, you bastards.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was going to be an alien on like the farm ride.
Oh, yeah.
I got kicked out of that because a fight took place. I didn't fight, but I watched the fight and I didn't know what to do. And the police got involved. I couldn't do the alien thing anymore. So they made me do parking and they made me be at the lemonade stand like deep into the farm. And they had me at 15 years old making some lemonade. The lemonade had to be awful. It was overly priced because I was making it at 15 years old. But there was so much sugar in it. Where I was like, this is not just lemon juice. This is lemonade, therefore it's not a juice. Video producer Brian. I don't know that Brian has been introduced properly on the show before, so this will be the time to properly introduce video producer Brian. He's been with us for like 5 months, 6 months now, something like that?
Yeah.
I think he tries to keep a low profile because I know what it is. He walks in every day. He's one of the fresher dudes in our building.
His sneaker game is crazy.
Goes just crazy.
Sneaker game is crazy.
But you can say all that. You can hype him up, and then he tells you he's a Cowboys fan.
He's like a Cowboys fan.
A fine girl in the club, and then you find out her breath stinks. That is video producer Brian.
That is crazy.
Like it's amazing.
Well, it's funny because I asked him. I told Max we're going to do this, and I asked Brian. I was like, "Do you want to jump on air with this?" He's like, "Hell yeah, I want to jump on air with this." So there's something there. Is lemonade a juice?
No, it is not.
No, it is not. So are we 3-1 right now?
Wow.
Hold on, Brian.
What did you say to me before the show?
I said lemonade is not a juice because the concept of lemon juice is a thing. So you wouldn't have to make that distinction if it was just a juice.
I think we're very quickly reaching a consensus.
Think about if you took a lemon and you just squeezed it. Are you drinking lemonade or are you drinking lemon juice?
Drinking lemon juice. You can make the same conversation with lime juice. That's why you have limeade and lemonade, but not lime juice and lemon juice.
Exactly. If you take an orange and squeeze the juice, that's just orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
That is orange juice. Now, there are, in fairness to like one of my points, there are a lot of companies out here that are going to put a bunch of extra processed stuff
in
your orange juice, and we don't like that at all. But he is correct. So on the poll, 53% say no, lemonade is not a juice. And I think we're going to trust this poll a little bit more than the commander's name poll. I think this is a much more like highly attested poll.
I was impressed by that poll because lemonade being a juice got off to a hot start.
It was like 70% from the jump. And I was like, whoa.
How long has this been up for?
It has been up for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hour and a half. So we're still getting there. You know, I ran one on Instagram as well. So I might have to throw in some of the Instagram votes.
I think it's a very nuanced conversation.
It is a very
nuanced.
There's a lot of thought that goes into this. I can't wait. I'm going to have Chris Russell jump in on this when he gets in here.
He'll spend an hour on it.
And I can't wait.
Like he did Friday with the hot dogs.
He did spend an hour.
Whoa, what? Hold on.
Friday, he spent legit an hour talking about hot dogs and what like the ideal hot dog is. And it stemmed from Metal Chris seeing like at the what racing event was this past week?
Oh, the Wiener at the Indy 500 exactly. They did the Oscar Mayer
Wienermobile
race. Yes.
Wiener race.
The Wiener race.
Not a
Wiener
the whole hot dog.
I thought it was the Weenie race.
Well,
okay, Chris Russell. I kind of had a feeling Russell was a glizzy gobbler. I didn't know he was like a spend an hour on hot dogs.
Holy hell.
We do have a call on this that I want to get to. You can join the conversation 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. John in Falls Church, is lemonade a juice?
No, lemonade is not a juice. You guys have pretty much covered the points I was going to make, but like, is a screwdriver a juice? It has orange juice and another set of ingredients, which happens to be vodka. Lemonade has lemon juice and another set of ingredients, which is sugar water.
Right.
And so it's like a non-alcoholic cocktail. And that's why I think on like those processed juices, they'll say like apple juice cocktail, but it's like apple juice, sugar, and water, as opposed to like apple juice.
So like raw apple juice. Like I want that real apple juice. That's a great point, John. I'll tell you what, a screwdriver is not a juice, but it is a damn good time.
It's
depending
delicious.
On who you are drinking it with. We got some people on Twitter chiming in. My guy Spencer says, this is a trick question. All fruits, when squeezed, make juice. Would you drink 12 ounces of said squeezed fruit as a juice? Oranges, grapes, sure. Doing it with lemons would be a house of pain. That's a good way to describe that. It's not drank as juice, but as a drink because you need water, sugar, etc. So he says no. Mo says lemonade typically has lots of water and sugar added to it, like Kool-Aid. Lemonade is just a lemon-flavored drink. So we got a lot of people that are saying, no, lemonade is not a juice. I feel proud. I feel like I've won some people over.
I think you did a great job.
I think I did a great job with that. We will still take some of the conversation on that if you would like to join in on that. It's up on Twitter, the poll question. We got a lot more people chiming in. My man Commander Jigga said no. He voted no because it's a juice. It's very high, 90% for fruit and vegetable being used. I would think lemonade is probably around 10% fruit. Therefore, it is not a juice, but rather a lemon-flavored drink. So you want to chime in on that at the Denton Day on Twitter. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan on the Kevin Sheehan Show. My guy George said, is coconut a fruit? Then what is coconut water?
Coconut
water is just coconut water.
Yeah.
It's coconut, like water produced in it. You're not squeezing the coconut.
Coconut is just a big seed.
Is it? I think it's technically a fruit. I don't know what it is.
No, fruits would have seeds. Coconut doesn't have seeds. Coconut is the seed. You would plant a coconut and you get a coconut tree. That might be the dumbest thing I've ever said on air. If it's wrong. Only if it's wrong.
Can I Google that? Is coconut a fruit?
Coconuts are fruit. They come from trees.
But
yeah, coconut is a fruit.
Oh man. I just showed my ass and outed myself as an idiot on air. Oh no. What have I done?
And it comes for us all eventually, Max. Coconut water from like fresh coconut is pretty silly though.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I've had it. All right, we do got to get to some like actual football stuff. I promise this is not just going
to
be about all juices and lemonades. But if you do want to weigh in on that conversation, feel free to do so. So I saw something on social media this weekend. Again, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend. Times are a little slower. Not a lot of big storylines going on outside of the Caitlin Clark injury. But even that almost felt like it flew under the radar just because of when that story broke over the weekend. But I did see a list that was put together of top three players on each team. This came from Pro Football Focus. I believe it was Trevor Sikkema. If not, it was one of the other guys at Pro Football Focus. But they went through each NFL team and they ranked the three best players. And for the Commanders, the three players were Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, and Bobby Wagner. And in the description as to why Bobby Wagner was number three on here, it said Wagner added yet another elite run defense season. Gonna stop it right there. Didn't see a whole lot of elite run defense from anybody this year for the Commanders. Thought Bobby was good. I wouldn't say elite run defense. That was in fact like the biggest issue with the defense this entire season. But I'm just reading what Pro Football Focus said. I didn't say this. He said another elite run defense earning a 91.2 grade, his third straight year above 91. So I bring this conversation up because if you were to ask me who were the top three Commanders players, I would not have listed Bobby Wagner as number three. I think there are a lot of different directions that you could go for that number three position. Maybe you think number three is Terry, and you would say somebody else is at number two. I saw a lot of people on social media say, what about Laremy Tunsil? He's one of the best pass-blocking left tackles in the NFL. He should be on this list over a guy like Bobby Wagner. And I did do the research everywhere else because I was curious if there was like some sort of caveat where you needed at least two offensive players and a defensive player, or you had to have defense represented in some way, shape, or form, the way that some of these things tend to be in the offseason during list season. And there was no caveat of that. There were certain players on this list that had all offensive players. There were a few teams on the list that had multiple defensive players. So they added Bobby Wagner on this list because they were clearly very passionate about Bobby Wagner being the third best player on the Commanders roster looking into 2025. I would have said Frankie Louvu. I would have said that the answer is Frankie Louvu because of the versatility that Frankie Louvu brought to the defense from a pass rushing standpoint. And it felt like there were more points in time this season where Frankie Louvu showed signs of being a game wrecker. Now, the biggest issue with Washington's defense last season and the biggest issue with Washington's defense now, it's been my biggest gripe about how this offseason has ended up playing out, they have not added a legit game wrecker on defense. They are expecting somebody to step up and be a legitimate game wrecker, but they have not added a legitimate game wrecker on defense. And the standpoint of thinking that somebody is going to take a big jump, Dorrance Armstrong, Frankie Louvu, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, I mean, you take a defensive player and name one and say, I think this guy is going to take a big defensive jump. Fine. If they want to take that approach, I think it's a reasonable approach to take. I would have liked to see a little bit more on defense. With that said, though, I did feel like at times Frankie Louvu showed the most when it came to being a legitimate game wrecker because of that versatility, whereas Bobby Wagner was, he was not that. He is not in the position of his career where he is in game wrecker mode anymore. He's played too long. He's getting up there in age. He maybe losing a step and a half, a step or two, something along those lines. I think he's a great leader. I think he did elevate the defense, certainly. I would not call anyone on the run defense last year elite at playing the run. I would not do that. That was the biggest issue that came with last season. So I will say, as soon as I saw that in the blurb as to why this was the selection, I was hesitant to keep going and how much I wanted to trust this list because there was nothing elite about run defense last year. But that then leads the question to you, the listener. We are done with the lemonade conversation unless you have a take on it, which I think it's a fun conversation, and it's May in sports radio, so we have to have these fun conversations.
At least until AMAC gets in.
At least until, you know, Anthony McBarnett gets in here, so we can get... Although he did vote on my Instagram poll after he was the one that said lemonade is a juice. He did vote on my Instagram poll and said no.
What a turncoat.
I mean, he has done a 180, it seems, on his stance on lemonade.
Hey, listen,
I don't know if he thought I couldn't see those votes or what, but we might have to hold his feet to the fire.
I won't begrudge people from changing their mind, admitting they were wrong. That's growth.
It is very noble. I will tell you
it
that.
Is.
It's very noble. So we'll get his thoughts on that. But I want you to weigh in on the phones now with 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Who are the top three Commanders in the year 2025? You can look at this current roster, the names they have assembled. So if you want to throw Debo in there or Laremy Tunsil, you are perfectly okay to do that. Maybe you like Javon Kinlaw. That would be a hot take, but you are perfectly allowed to do that. I want your top three Commanders in 2025 at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We continue this conversation when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
Wait. Yeah, we're up. Yeah, we're going to pick. Okay. All right, thanks, man. Yeah, we're going to play, Steve. All right, later. All right. All right.
Adam f***ing Peters.
Adam Cook.
That was from Commander's Log. the video series that the team puts out on its social media pages and its YouTube, think of it as like a very team-friendly Hard Knocks. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on Thursday and Friday. Kevin is back on Monday. What you heard in that clip was Dan Quinn being just like us. He is, in fact, like us.
One of us.
Saying, let Adam Peters cook.
Get in the kitchen.
I love it when the memes of the internet make its way into the front office, but I say that with the purest of intentions, because I do think that it is funny that everyone is adapting this idea of let Adam Peters cook. I like Commander's Log, and there's a lot of stuff we're going to get into. We will cycle back to this eventually. I'd love Commander's Log. If you are excited about Hard Knocks, you should be watching the Commander's Log. I think the social team does a really good job. There's a part that we're going to play later in the show, Max, that had me ready to run through a wall. I saw it. It was from Josh Connerly, and I was like, can it be July now? Forget June. Forget like the 4th of July. Like, give me training camp. Give me preseason. I'm ready to go. So yeah. You will hear that throughout the course of the show. We got three great guests coming up. Jordan DeGianni is going to join us in an hour to talk all the latest headlines in the NFL. Mark Zuckerman is going to be with us. He's live in Seattle. The Nats got a big win last night, absolutely shredding the Seattle Mariners. And then Shayhan Jeyaraja from CBS Sports is going to be with us to talk about the future of college football. If you're a fan of the sport and you are paying attention to any of the headlines that are coming out of Destin, where the SEC meetings are taking place, we have a lot of changes that are coming to the sport that I love. And I know there's a lot of listeners that love college football. So the latest on that at noon. But we start with arguably the biggest story that we can in late May. Jalen Ramsey yesterday strung together a string of tweets effectively saying goodbye to Miami. Maybe I'm reading a little bit too between the lines with this, but when he says I'm ready for the next chapter, I don't think he means the 2025 season. I think what he means is that he does not want to be in Miami anymore. And Jalen Ramsey has been tied to Washington through various reports during this 2025 offseason. Now that feels a little bit more open to realistically happening with him firing these tweets off. Now, I do want to point out, it is very important for those of us that are fans of the team just to pay attention to who is tweeting reports about the Commanders being interested. It's a lot of national people, which is fine. I think national people do a very good job. But I would just like to, and I'm not going to name anyone in particular, but I just want to point out, when it comes to people that are linking Washington to a guy like Jalen Ramsey, this front office does not talk to these people. Or maybe they talk to these people, but they don't talk to these people the way that Ron talked to these people. Ron Rivera would give you the first 15 scripted plays, if you really asked for it. This front office does not do that. So when you see reports from guys on ESPN, on CBS, Fox, whoever, it's not just one person. It's the litany of all of the national reporters. They don't get a lot of clarity from this front office group. So just keep that in mind when it comes to the Jalen Ramsey stuff. I, though, Max, in sitting and thinking about this, I have discovered exactly how I would want, if Washington goes and makes Jalen Ramsey a Commander, I have discovered exactly how I want this to go down.
Oh, yeah?
If it's via trade, which at this point it would have to be. It would have to be via trade. That's the best thing for Miami. He wants out of Miami. Miami clearly wants out of him. Contract situation is going to be tough. But if it's a post-June 1 trade, it does become a little bit easier. Not a lot of bit easier, but a little bit easier. Just for context, if they were to release Jalen Ramsey before June 1st, which is today, tomorrow, the day after that, and that's it. So if it's just the next 3 days, the dead cap hit is $49 million. So they are not going to be doing that.
No.
He is not going to be getting released before June 1st. If it is after June 1st, that dead cap in a release for 2025 goes down to $30 million. Better, I guess, still not great. If it's a trade, the dead cap pre-June 1st is $29 million for Miami. If it's post-June 1st, it is going to be $10 million. So that seems easy, right? You don't have to be a math major to know that $10 million is clearly the best option of that. So I say this to say, if you are going to trade for Jalen Ramsey, I'm not on board with that, if I'm being honest. But if you are going to, I will play the devil's advocate. If you're going to trade for Jalen Ramsey, you are trading Marshon Lattimore as a part of that trade.
You know, as you were building up to it, I was like, is he going to say?
He's going to say it. If you trade for Jalen Ramsey, Marshon Lattimore is a part of that trade.
I don't hate it.
You do not need to stack a guy in Marshon Lattimore who is not at OTAs yesterday. I don't love that. Don't hate it. It's voluntary. I get it. But I don't love when a guy who did not perform great last year, especially in the postseason, is not at OTAs, at least yesterday. We will see if he is there today. I cannot imagine that he will be there today unless someone said that yesterday and I missed it. I listened to everybody.
Haven't seen anything.
Have not seen a report that said he just missed Wednesday. He'll be here Thursday. So I'm not expecting to see him there. If he is there, I will change my tune. But if you get, if you have Marshon Lattimore, who was not good at the end of the year last year, and he's not showing up, I do feel like that makes him a little bit more expendable, especially if you really, really love Jalen Ramsey. I want a defensive pass rusher. Let me make that abundantly clear. And it is actually starting to make me very upset that there has not been a defensive pass rusher that has been acquired that I can put a lot of faith in. But if you want to go for Jalen Ramsey, you trade Marshon Lattimore. I do not think you can spend the assets and then the then money to the, then trot out Lattimore, Ramsey, and then decide between Santerstill and Trey Amos, and then one of those dudes is riding the bench. Mikey Santerstill is too good to be riding the bench right now. After what we saw last year, the way that he played against A.J. Brown, the way that he played against Detroit, the way that he played against everybody, even when Lattimore wasn't doing great, with Mike Evans, who stepped up to the matchup? It was Mikey Santerstill. That dude would play really well against guys that had at least 6 inches of height on him. Didn't seem to matter. I do not think you can have Mikey Santerstill ride the bench, but then I also would be very confused if you draft this guy, Trey Amos, who, as I watched Commander's log yesterday, they love Trey Amos. They love him. Now, I understand the Commander's log bit. You are not going to put a video or a clip in there of guys being like, damn it, I hate that we have to pick him, but we're going to pick him. What they did show was that there were guys that were calling. They didn't tell us who, but there were teams that were calling for that pick.
They gave some hints.
They gave some hints for the, I think, for the first one. I don't know if they gave hints for the second one.
There were, yeah, there. If you do some diving, there were initials thrown out there. There was
There was first names, but yeah, there wasn't.
He made a joke about the in-division tax. I don't know if that was to Howie Roseman.
That was to Connerly, but that was to Howie. I don't know if that was to Howie Roseman or if that was to the Giants.
Yeah, because that was a different call.
Because the Giants traded up to then go get Jackson Dart. That was when they were talking about getting Connerly.
Yeah.
But they decided to not go out of the, to trade out of that second round spot to draft Trey Amos. I cannot wrap my head around doing that, thinking that Trey Amos and Mikey Santerstill would likely be your guys of the future in the cornerback position when eventually Marcus Lattimore or Marshon Lattimore is done. And then when eventually, if you get Jalen Ramsey is done, you have those two guys, hopefully on the back end of your defense to be the guys moving forward. You would then put one of them on the bench if you go out and you get Jalen Ramsey and you keep Marshon Lattimore. So if you want Jalen Ramsey and you want to trade for Jalen Ramsey, you trade Marshon Lattimore. And your thought is, all right, we will give you Marshon Lattimore. That is an expiring contract. The Dolphins are not going to be very good this year. They are going to lie to themselves and say we are going to be very good this year, but they are not going to be very good this year. Tua is not it. They overpaid him, and it seems like the McDaniel thing is very much wearing off. The rap references, the guy in the just being quirky and funny at the microphone, Mike Jones, like that all was good when you're winning 11 games. When you're not winning 11 games and you have proven over the course of the last 3 years that you can't win in the month of December because it gets a little chilly outside, the Dolphins, I don't know that the Dolphins are going to be fully intact by the time the Commanders play them in Barcelona. It would not stun me if McDaniel is no longer the coach and they have just completely punted on this season. Tyreek Hill doesn't want to be there. Do not allow him to lie to you and say that he actually does want
to
be there.
He wants to hang out with Aiden Ross more than he wants to play football.
He wants to hang out with Aiden Ross. he wants to hang out there with baby Gronk. And like, whatever you feel about Tyreek Hill, the person, I don't feel very good about him, but maybe you feel differently about Tyreek Hill, the person. An NFL player hanging out with like a weird 14-year-old is weird.
Yeah, confirmed.
There is no way to spin it that an NFL player hanging out with a dude whose dad is forcing him to be popular and basically buying women for the kid, that is weird. And Tyreek Hill was hanging out with baby Gronk and just trying to hype up baby Gronk. Weird. That situation is going to be a disaster. So maybe if you're Washington and you love Jalen Ramsey more than you love Marshawn Lattimore, you put him in the trade, you get Jalen Ramsey, you're going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey. He wants a new contract. The issue that I have with Jalen Ramsey and why I would not go and get him, because let me make this abundantly clear, I don't really have a huge interest in Jalen Ramsey at this particular point in time. I have an interest in a pass rusher. I have an interest in somebody that can set an edge and stop the damn run when Saquon Barkley comes to town, or when you go and you play Saquon Barkley, or the Giants, because their no-named running back last year had nearly 120 yards in the first quarter, or whoever Dallas trots out there at running back. You got Bijan Robinson again on your schedule this year. Like, you play a lot of really good running backs, the Lions duo. I need someone that can go out there and set an edge. Now, Jalen Ramsey played well in run defense, so hooray for that, but he's also a cornerback. I don't want a cornerback to set an edge. I want a guy that can get after the passer and stiffen up this defensive line. So I'm not in on Jalen Ramsey at all, but if you are in on Jalen Ramsey, Lattimore needs to be part of the deal. And then they can deal Miami with his contract. You can pay Jalen Ramsey, and then in 2 years, when he outwears his welcome like he has done in Jacksonville, like he has done in Los Angeles, and like he has now done in Miami, well, then you can decide to move on from him. And then hope, maybe, just maybe, you make some sort of like crazy, massive package deal where when both guys seemingly outweigh their welcome, you can trade Laremy Tunsil and Jalen Ramsey, because those are two guys that have done the exact same thing. They are not in positions with teams for extended periods of time. And there are a lot of reasons. Like, you can point to the Rams' financial situation as to why Jalen Ramsey had to leave, but you can manipulate the cap very easily in today's NFL. If they wanted to keep him, they would have kept him. If the Miami Dolphins really wanted to keep him, they would keep him. They don't really want to keep him. He does not want to be there. I understand that he wants to win. I don't want Jalen Ramsey. And I know I'm in the minority because I see it on Twitter that everybody wants Jalen Ramsey. And I think most of you are falling for the name more than you are falling for the player. He was really good at times in Jacksonville. He's not a bad player by any stretch of the imagination, but he is not nearly the player that is going to be worth the money and then potential assets that he would command. And oh, by the way, it's not like you have a lot of assets to give up. The Commanders have 5 draft picks next year for the second year in a row in 2026. 5, which is another reason why if you do make this trade, you have to put a player in there. And the player that makes the most sense would be Marshawn Lattimore, because it's not like you can take away from any other position, unless you want to trade like a Luke McCaffrey, but I don't think Miami is going to be like, yeah, we'll take Luke McCaffrey for Jalen Ramsey, straight up. That's not going to happen. So you need to trade a player in there, but again, I don't think the juice that Jalen Ramsey would bring is worth the necessary squeeze that Washington would have to make. It's the name over the actual production. It almost feels a little too Dan Snyder-esque. Oh, look at this big-name player that wants out. We should go sell the farm to get him. We should go give up assets that we find to be valuable, deviate away from the current plan that we have in place, and go and get him. I'm not in on that at all. I'm totally good on that. I think the Laremy Tunsil thing, as much as I have question marks about him, it makes sense because you need a left tackle that can block and a guy that can protect Jaden Daniels. The Debo thing makes a ton of sense. Didn't really work in San Francisco. They just weren't going to pay him. But he brings something to the offense that you did not have. What does Jalen Ramsey bring to the defense that you did not have, other than being an aging defensive back that is likely over the peak of his prime, the same way that Marshawn Lattimore is? So if you already have one of those dudes, I'm not moving heaven and earth. I'm not moving nothing to go and get him, get another one of those dudes to then potentially push Trey Amos out, push Mikey Sanders still out. I don't see or want Mikey Sanders still or Trey Amos, at least at this point in time, to kick to safety. I'm sure someone's going to tweet me, which you can at the Denton Day when we open up the phones on this topic at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Someone might say, Denton, just kick one of them to safety. I don't have any interest in kicking Trey Amos or Mikey Sander still to safety for Jalen Ramsey in 2025. In 2018, hell yes, brother. In 2025, I have zero interest in making that a reality here. Good player, send him to Atlanta. If he goes to Dallas, Dallas is rumored with all of these things, sick. Let him go to Dallas. Terry will burn him a couple of times. Maybe Debo will burn him a couple of times. I'll be perfectly fine with that. I don't need to move heaven and earth to get that guy here, though. I just don't. And I think a lot of us are jumping too much on the name because the team was good last year. Everybody wants to win this year. I get it. I don't need Jalen Ramsey. I want your thoughts at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you want Washington to make a move for Jalen Ramsey after Jalen Ramsey says he is ready to start a new chapter? We will take your calls on that when we get back. A what do you got when we get back as well? That'll come with a little bit of life advice. It's something you don't want to miss. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on a Friday at the Denton Day on Twitter, continuing our conversation about the NBA postseason. The Knicks forcing a game six, 111-94, taking down Indiana. Joining us now to make a little bit of sense of what we saw last night and figuring out who, if anyone, can beat the Thunder, my guy Rick Kamla, Sports Ethos, covering the NBA for them, giving out some picks. We'll get a pick from him before we let him off the hook here. Cam, what's up, man? How are you?
Denton, what's going on, my brother? You good?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We get a game six on a Saturday. Thank God. I was so worried that we were going to go an extended period of time with no games. So I'm glad the Knicks were able to give us at least something on Saturday.
Well, I had Indiana last night. So, I tomorrow when there's hoops on, I'll be happy. But, I misjudged that. I thought Cat was limping so bad and stuff in game four. I thought that was going to be a huge issue. And obviously, it was like that one final party. I think Indiana's going to do them in here in game six. But, I played the money line. It was like 50 to win 120, feeling good about it. But we ripped up that ticket, Denton.
Hey, as long as you get back on the horse on Saturday, that's all that matters, right?
Exactly. I mean, I'm up, so I had some surplus to play with, but that was not well thought out.
What did you make of the way that the Knicks were able to slow the pace down a little bit for Indiana in game number five?
I don't think Indiana really brought the noise. Okay, they had just that really awesome emotional victory in game four. Hallie's dad's back in the building. He has a 1-of-1 playoff game, and he was dreadful last night. I think, and you know this, a lot of times when teams get up 3-1, and then they go on the road for that game five, that's not a motivation game. I mean, it's a closeout game, but it's a death game for the other team, right? And for the team that's up 3-1, I think human nature sets in a little bit, and you exhale a little bit, and you have that whole thought, well, shoot, we lose tonight, we just go back home and we win game six. I think, we saw that in the Boston-New York series, game five at Boston. That's what New York did, right? They were up 3-1. I think they kind of half-assed. That was the Luke Kornet game, right? And then game six back in New York, and New York closes them out. So we've seen that pattern happen a lot. I should have known it was going to go down that way. My bad. But I will be on Indiana tomorrow night, Denton.
Do you think that Tyrese Halliburton is getting the proper criticism for the game that he had last night after that iconic 1-of-1 performance in game four?
Well, I don't – here's my thing. Criticism is like born of like a lot of failure, right? And like, okay, he had one dreadful game after, a 30-10-15 with no turnovers. Nobody's ever done that. I don't think there should be any criticism at all. I think it should, everybody should just kind of know it's kind of like a gravy game. You don't have to win that game. You know, and a lot of people, they got to close it out. Otherwise, here come the Knicks. Indiana's not looking at it that way. I can promise you. Maybe bettors are, maybe fans are and stuff. I don't know. In that locker room, they're not looking at it that way. They're like, we sucked in game five. We'll get back to our pace in game six. And so being at home, I think, helps the pace thing. And just like going to the court with a mindset for destruction and playing the way you play. And I just don't think Indiana had that last night. That was New York's game. They had all the motivation on their side. So I don't think there should be any criticism on Hallie at all. I think he's an absolutely amazing player. Here's another 1-of-1 for you, Denton. He is the first player in the history of the NBA. This is going to blow your mind. He is the first person in the history of the NBA to average 20 points, 10 assists, and 40% on threes in a season. That's right. Nobody's ever done it. So we're talking about a historical, generational, first ballot, future Hall of Famer here. And if he shoots 25% in the NBA Finals against OKC, maybe we can start levying some criticism against this man, but not right now.
How far is the gap between Rick Carlisle and the other remaining coaches in the NBA, or just everyone else in the NBA, period, if you think he is the best in the NBA right now?
I don't think he's – look, Carlisle's my guy, man. He's a deadhead. I'm a deadhead. Me and Rick go way back. Like, he's my favorite coach, I'll tell you that, by far. But is he the best coach? He's up there. I mean, Spoelstra's up there. Kerr is up there. But, you know, Ty Lue is up there. I know people bang on Doc Rivers, but you look at his resume, I think Doc Rivers is hovering in that conversation for best coach in the league right now. Yeah, he's up there. I'm not going to diss Rick at all. I think he's a phenomenal coach. He has found roles for all of these guys. And, you know, it seems like they're happy. And, they're, you know, Obi Toppin to me is a starting player. And he's been a bench player, and he just always comes through for them. T.J. McConnell is one of the best backup point guards in the league. Mathurin, you know, could be a starter. I don't know. To me, he's kind of a gunner off the bench, but he's a hell of a player. So he's made it work. You know, Carlisle started Nebhard as a rookie. Nebhard didn't know what he was doing at that point, in my opinion. What do I know, right? I'm like, why are you starting Nebhard? And he was starting him over Mathurin, right? Well, guess what? Now he's groomed Nebhard into like this really solid glue guy, role player, jack of all trades. Right. When Hallie's out, he spikes, plays defense, makes shots, passes the rock, right? You know, they made the Sabonis and Halliburton trade, and then that freed up Miles Turner. Because Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis was a little bit like same on same, you know, two bigs and stuff like that. So it got them playing faster to just have the one big and then have, you know, basically four wings. So I just think they've done a great job all the way up to their czar, Kevin Pritchard, who's another one of my longtime NBA homies. I'm super excited for their success. They're not going to win this thing. Nobody's beaten OKC, but I'm excited for Indiana's success.
Rick Kamler with me here, Sports Ethos, on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here. Does Indiana match up better with Oklahoma City, even though we are both in agreement that Oklahoma City is going to win this thing?
I mean, I think Indiana can really battle them because Indiana's deep. They're really deep. To me, they're the third deepest team in the league behind OKC and then Cleveland. And I know Cleveland's, you know, dead and gone and forgotten, but God bless America. They got dudes, man. And so does Indiana. I mean, Indiana's got stay ready group guys, you know, third unit guys like Jairus Walker that are badasses just waiting in the wing. So I think Indiana's going to get a couple of games off OKC. I do. Look, the OKC-Minnesota thing was a clash of, you know, a team on a mission and just, you know, they're a freaking wagon, okay? And then you've got the whole thing with Minnesota was Ant-Man. And I love Ant-Man, and I'm not being critical of him. I'm just calling it what it is. He's 23 years old. He doesn't know how to do this yet. And nobody can come help him, right? It's not, you know, Ant-Man needs more help, blah, blah. No. Stop that. What needs to happen is he just needs to keep playing. Like he said, you know, does it hurt? No, it doesn't hurt. I'm young. There's going to be a lot of these opportunities. I think that's a little bit flimsy by him. You don't always make the West Finals every year. I mean, come on. So, you know, he's got to understand that. But his point is, dude, I'm 23. I'm figuring this out. So Ant-Man's got to become a full-time killer. He can't be a part-time killer. Right, where my teammates will do it tonight, or they're doubling me, I got to get off the ball tonight. F all of that. Jordan didn't just accept that. Kobe didn't just accept that. Bron doesn't just accept that. You've got to find a way to go Hulk smash on these dudes no matter what the circumstances of the game are, because he needs to dictate the circumstances of the game, but he's not there yet. SGA is there. He dictates the terms of the game. You know, people call it foul baiting or whatever. I call it smart basketball. If you're going to move and angle and do it all within the rules and get the tweet and go to the line 14 times and slow the game down, get in a rhythm and just death by paper cut, well, then freaking kill them by paper cut, man. I have no problem with it at all. I think it's high-level competition, Denton. Everybody's hating on him. Everybody's, oh, you suck and foul baiter, blah, blah, blah. And he's just out there doing his thing. I think it's absolute. It's not like super entertaining, but it's super effective, and I like it.
The foul baiting thing and the free throw merchant thing, Rick, almost just feels lazy from people that don't understand the flow of basketball. Because like you just said, he's getting in a rhythm, and he constantly gets himself into a rhythm by doing that. I feel like everyone that's critical of him for that is lazy. All great players get to the free throw line. That's what happens when you drive to the basket.
I mean, thank you. What can I say? High five, Denton. Yes. What you said. You know, the people got to search for stuff. I was laughing. You know, after OKC pounded Minnesota, whatever day that was, the next day on ESPN, is it a dynasty? It's the stupidest question in sports right now. No, they haven't won a championship yet. How can it be a dynasty? Like, I'm not like, let them win a championship. Then maybe I'll tell you what, Dan, I learned a lesson. NBA radio. All right, Denver wins the chip. I start, you know, a little, they brew in a dynasty, right? Immediately after that, like, guys started getting hurt and stuff started unraveling with the team. I'm like, that was such a dumb radio take right there. I'm not doing that again. I just think it's too early. They haven't even won a finals game yet. We're talking about dynasty? I mean, give me a break, man.
Speaking of SGA, what outside of the ability to get to the free throw line, it does feel like he is such a great leader for this team. In watching him, and especially where he came from with Los Angeles, what makes him as special as he is?
Great question. I think it's like speed, gears, tempo. He's obviously really intelligent and really competitive. But and I noticed this at Kentucky. He just glides. He's so smooth. You know, just that that dribble is a yo-yo. He slaloms through dudes. And so when he's coming downhill on you and he slams the brakes on it about the free throw line, and he just pulls back for that mid-range jumper, dude, that's automatic, man. Nobody can get to it. You're basically make or miss at that point, and he doesn't miss that shot very much. You know, he's not an exceptional jump shooter. He's getting, you know, better at it, but his whole thing is being slithery, being crafty, being mid-range, getting to the free throw line, and he's so freaking good at it, man. I call him Mr. Consistent. That's my nickname for him. The guy's 30 every game. He's not 40, then 20, 40, then 20. He's 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30 every game. It's amazing. You know, led the league in scoring. He's going to probably do that multiple times here. He's really cracked the code, Denton, of how to score, how to play his game at the NBA level. You can't speed him up. And he just plays the game at his pace. And he's got the other team wrapped around his pinky. He will share the rock, although, you know, like the Ant-Man thing, it's very, very, very important for OKC, for SGA to take a ton of shots and a ton of free throws and score a ton of points. And he does that every game. Ant-Man needs to understand that, dude, you can't have a game with 13 shots. That cannot happen.
Right.
Every single game, you've got to put up 20-plus shots. Otherwise, we're going to have a conversation about it. And again, I love Ant-Man, and he'll figure it out. He's 23. SGA's 26, Denton. He's there. Ant-Man is 23. He's almost there.
Yeah, Ant-Man needs to be taking 13 shots and a half, not 13 shots in a game. Like, he needs to just be spraying that bad boy. Before we get to your official pick for game number 6, just a couple of outside of the postseason questions. By the time we tip off in 2020, I guess 2025, but the 25-26 season, Giannis Antetokounmpo is wearing what uniform?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Houston. I haven't made calls and, you know, any of that. I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here. Mm-hmm. The Lakers don't have the assets to me. You know, Austin Reeves is not enough to get Giannis. And I love Austin Reeves. He's just not. It's got to be Austin Reeves and I don't know if the Lakers have that. The Rockets have, you know, and I thought this when the Durant stuff started kind of bubbling up. And I don't want the Rockets to trade for Kevin Durant. And I love Kevin Durant. But why would you eat away at probably the second-best young core in the NBA behind OKC for like a 37-year-old oft-injured future Hall of Fame? That would be so freaking stupid. But if you're going to trade like Jabari Smith and maybe Cam Whitmore and maybe Reed Shepard, I don't know, and maybe a couple picks, like I just think you could really hit Milwaukee with really strong young prospects that they could forge their future with. You could give them a bunch of picks, 5-6 picks, whatever it is. So I'll say Houston, Denton.
At the risk of becoming what Los Angeles became when they traded SGA and he became an MVP, I would assume that no package includes Amen Thompson for Houston, right?
That is correct. They're not going to trade him. I'm not trading Jalen Green or Alfie Sengun. And coming into last season,
I was like, that was kind of a big year for me and Jalen Green. Like, I needed to see an ascension, improvement on the defensive end, you know, where Ime doesn't have to pull you for Tari Eason in the fourth quarter. And I saw that. Like, I saw him defending. I saw him sitting down. I saw a lot of major scoring games. I saw ebbing and flow, and he kind of runs cold, and then he hits a heater, goes back to cold. So he's a little bit up and down that way, but I like Jalen Green, and I know he struggled in the playoffs. Again, super young guy, first playoff series. He's playing against, you know, a fading dynasty in Golden State, who obviously has a ton of know-how. They're just smarter than him in a variety of ways, so he'll figure it out. But I wouldn't trade Jalen Green. I wouldn't trade Alpe. I really like Reed Shepard, Denton. I think he's a young stud. I think they should decline the team option on Fred VanVleet, put Amen at the one, and then move Reed Shepard into, like, you know, a 20-minute per game kind of role.
Yeah.
That's how I'd roll. Because I know VanVleet had some big playoff games, but he was awful in the regular season. I mean, absolutely dreadful. He shot like 37%, dude.
And especially if you know he's not going to be a part of this moving forward, gave some veteran leadership, thank you for your services, go somewhere else, right?
And it's $40 million, bro. It's like 40-some million dollars for Fred VanVleet. Like, I'm not paying that. There's no way.
I'm not paying. I don't care how high this salary cap is. I am paying that. Rick, before we get you out of here, official pick for game number 6 on Saturday.
I think Indiana's going to win the game, and it might not be close. I think, like I said, I just think they let their guard down. I think they exhaled. That was, you know, Ben Stiller and Timothy Chalamet and, you know, Tracy Morgan and Spike Lee. And, you know, that I think that was that one last Nick party, man. I think the Pacers are going to the NBA Finals. I think they're going to close them out on Saturday night. I think Halliburton's going to have another exhilarating game. And, you know, I just don't think – I don't think the Knicks can do that again, man. I don't. So that's what I got. I think the Pacers are going to close them out on Saturday night. This is a can't-lose situation, Denton, because if the Knicks win, then we all get a Game 7. So there's no losers here.
No, yeah, and Game 7 would be so great from a content perspective. I mean, being able to talk about something on Monday would be sensational. Rick, always appreciate it, my friend. Hope you're doing well. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, sir, Denton. Peace out, man.
That is Rick Kamla, Sports Ethos, good enough to jump on with us here, give us a couple plays. He's taking the Pacers. I'm taking the Pacers. I think the Pacers laying that 3.5 in game number 6 against the Knicks is something that you cannot miss. That's going to end basketball talk on the Kevin Sheehan Show. When we get back, are the Commanders getting the proper love from a roster building standpoint this offseason? We'll let you know when we get back. You can jump on the phone lines. Where do you think the Commanders roster ranks as it currently sits across the NFL? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dente sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.